I've been talking about a story today that you're quite familiar with. A story about a family that was in trouble. They put the trouble on themselves anyhow. And how that trouble seemed to run right through it and affect us even until today. The title is Keeping Hope Alive. As I talk with Brother Peterson this week, looking for a theme, and I mentioned keeping hope alive, he said that's political. In the sense that some years ago, unknowing to me that this was a typical slogan, keep hope alive, he told me. So I'm happy I heard the name behind Jesse and others. So I'm not Jesse, I'm M.G. Gregory. And the difference is I'm keeping hope alive. Just keeping hope alive. And I'm hoping and praying that all of us who are here today and those who are viewing, those who are listening, that we can really keep hope alive. Shall we bow our heads? Father, again, we come in your name, realizing that we are nothing without you. We study your words now. Be our teacher. Help us to imbibe your words. Help us when we leave this place, we leave it the full assurance that you will be with us to the end of time. May your words bring hope. May your words bring comfort. May your words bring cheer. May your words keep us faithful until you come. As you bless us now, in Jesus' name, amen. Abraham, father of the nation of Israel. Before he became the father of the nation, living in Mesopotamia, God called him from his father's house and said, "Hey, Abraham, come. Take your wife. Take your servants. Take everything that you have and just follow me." And the Bible said that Abraham, at age 75, packed his bag, took all his servants, and his wife Sarai at the age of 65, and they started to travel into an unknown land. What faith? Get up, brother dragon. Take your wife. Bring your household. Just come, follow me. How he was knowing where he was going, I don't know. But the Bible said that he believed God. Because God said to him, "Hey, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. Look up there. Can you count those stars?" "No, God. 1, 2. Can't do it. "Don't worry. That is how I'm going to make you the father of so many children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. You won't even believe it, that's happening." So Abraham started the trek into the unknown. God led him, took him to Canaan. And while he was there, he heard the promise again. "Abraham, you are going to be the father of a great nation." The book of Genesis recorded it so many times. And I believe that Abraham was so happy. "Man, at 75, boy, I'm going to be a father. Sarai at 65, going to be a mother." And he was praying and hoping and believing. But guess what? 1 year passed. Nothing happening. Check the doctor. Check out Sarai. See if she's fertile. Check Abraham. Everything look intact. They pray again. Nothing happened. 2 years. 3 years went by. Years went by fast. And after a while, the Bible said that Abraham then was in Canaan for 10 years. How old is he now? 85. Whoa! 85! Something not right downstairs. 85! Something not going on right. And he kept praying and then nothing happened. And Sarai said, hey, Abraham, you're an old man now, you know. Boy, if it's any longer, the promise that God has made may never be fulfilled. So here is it. My Egyptian servant, pretty girl, good shape. She's young. She ought to be fertile. Perhaps I am the fault. You know, sad thing about it? And let me just say something here. Too many women believe they at fault when they can't become pregnant. Sometimes it's not yours. Check the man. Check him out first now, before you blame yourself. The point I'm making is simple this. Something was not right as far as they are concerned. But God's plan is always right. The challenge that Abraham and Sarai had, they were not willing to wait on God. But 10 years seem long, to be honest with you. But yet, God did not tell them how long. All he said, follow me, Brother Frank. Don't worry. At the right time, I will get Sarai pregnant, even if you don't have the lift for it. Don't worry, I'll work it out. Let me do it my way. Just what? Wait on me. But they just could not wait. So he said, hey, take Hagar. Not just take her as a concubine. No, she's my servant. And based on the rules of laws in those days, it was quite in order. So she said, she's my servant. I'm going to take her to you and you marry her. So she can become a surrogate mother. It's not new. Amen. Don't think there's anything new under the sun. So when she gives birth, that child will be mine. And that child will be the what? The heir of the promise. And God is going to bless us abundantly and things will go right. Well, there's something happened according to the Bible. Listen to this now. It says here, look at verse 4. I don't know what they expect. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Can't blame the girl. The girl has status now. From a slave to a wife. Not only to a wife, but she was now what? Mother of the apparent heir. Signifying that whatever Abraham has, she who was a slave is entitled to all of it. Bless the Lord, I am now queen. I don't care about Sarai. She don't matter much. Look at me. Wow. Looking good. And she walked proud. Huh? And she showed the little bump until it became huge. And now she was proud. And Sarai said, hold on now, wait. I thought I was a wife. But she gave away that opportunity. But here's my challenge. Look at the Bible, how the Bible is cute. Look at verse 5. And Sarai said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon her. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And the Lord judged between me and thee. Guess who's blaming now? Abraham for the job. Who gave her? She gave Hagar to be married to the man. And by all means, she had hopes, yes, that she become what? Pregnant. And the baby would be married. But she had another plan. I am not giving up this baby. This is my ticket to prosperity. Yes. This is my ticket to status. You stay there. You are concubine now. I am queen. And I can just imagine how proud she was, like a peacock, walking around. But then, as it would happen, like most wives, gentlemen, it is hard to have two women at one time. I've often said, one is too much for me, much less two. And I love my wife dearly. But the point I want to establish here is simply this. We blame people easily when things go wrong, even though we are the ones who suggest it. Abraham, it is your fault to get her pregnant. Your fault to cause her to become proud. I will not stay in this house with her. Get rid of her. And Abraham said, no, I can't do that. And they had an argument, I'm sure. But listen, that's not the end of the story. It says, listen carefully. And verse 6, and when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from the place. The same word that is used here, hardly, in the Hebrew, is the same word that the Egyptians dealt hardly with the Israelites. Hardly, hardly, she treated her what? Harshly. Let's try and put it in perspective. Hagar, go wash the clothes. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Hang it up. She came and examined it. Took it out, bam, in the dirt. Wash it again. But the word also, apart from that sort of attitude, the word also suggested that she got beaten. So, verbal, I would imagine, follow me closely, criticism, and I could hear the remarks, but yeah, princess. I'm the real wife. You're a dosser. You know, a little thing out there. Imposter. Put it that way. So she dealt what? Harshly with her. And the poor girl said, guess what? Enough is enough. Life is more important to me than staying around. Now, listen to this carefully. She ran away. Was it night or day? I don't know. The Bible didn't say whether she got a camel, a horse, there was no car then, or she just grabbed some clothing and some food and she just bolted. But when the Bible brought this up into it, we see something significant. She was now on her way in the wilderness. Because Sarai did not treat her what? Right. You know, I had a discussion just this week with an 8-year-old girl. And I asked her a simple question. What do you desire for the new year? And her response was, Pastor, I just want everyone to be nice to each other. An 8-year-old girl. I just want what? Everyone to be what? Nice with each other. I wish Sarah had done that. Or better yet, what are we doing? How are we treating people who seem to be less of than we are? How do we treat our employees? How do we treat individuals who are smaller than we are? Are we being nice to them? Or are we like Sarai with Hagar? So much so that home cannot be peaceable for some individuals. In my experience, I know individuals who, when they get to the doorway, they start to feel as if the world has ended. Because coming home is miserable. Being home is horrible. Being in somebody you don't like is tough, especially when the treatment is not nice. And they say, here I come again, Lord. And some folk rather stay out very late than to meet the spouse, or anybody who makes their life what? Miserable. And the only thing can happen sometimes, like Hagar, pack your bag and run. You're right, Bishop. Sir Hardin.
So she did that. And what is happening here? As she went out, the Bible said that she went into the wilderness in the way of what? Shur. Where was Shur? Anybody knows? Shur, after you cross the Red Sea, you get in that what? Wilderness on the way back to Egypt. So she was on her way back to her mother's house. Approximately 200 miles long in wilderness. No companion, no guide. She was on her own. And as she traveled, I would imagine, if she had a small amount of water, she's going to be in problem. Small amount of food, she's going to be in problem. But the Bible said she came now to a well and she refreshed herself and she felt as if the world was all against her. It is now time to pack it up, time to die. And she worried about her unborn child. She was lonely. I would imagine she was frustrated. I would imagine that she had no hope of going back. And she was unsure as to what would happen to her back in her mother's house. Because you and I know sometimes, some parents glad to get rid of you. Don't come back home. Once you leave home, don't come back unless you plan to what? Visit. And the visit must not be too what? Long. So she was wondering, will mommy and daddy accept me again? More so, guess what? I'm pregnant. And I have no husband with me. Where are you going? Who's going to support you? You add to the family's what? Burden. So many things I would imagine going through her mind, and she felt as if the world has ended. But you know, the God that I serve is a great God. A God who understands what is happening to his children. A God who watches over his chosen people. A God who has the power to do the impossible at the right time. So the Bible said here, as soon as she was to the well, something happened. God showed up in her life again. What's the Bible? It says in verse 7. Now this is after she was exhausted. After she felt lonely and abandoned. After she felt the world was against her, somehow as she stood by, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness by the fountain the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. What a time for God to show up. Why did he not show up at the very beginning? You see, the God that I know, he tests his people to the ultimate. Abraham refused to wait, so they failed that test. She at this point in time, at the point of death, seeking to find a way out, not knowing where to go, where to turn. But in the midst of her disappointment, in the midst of her loneliness, in the midst of her hopelessness, God showed up at the right time and brought her courage and gave her hope. God is not like us. Listen to how we'll deal now. Hagar, where do you know? Pardon my expression. What caused you to be here? What? You take a man, woman, husband? You see, we are so quick to what? Condemn. So quick to pass what? Assertions. So quick to criticize. So quick to label people. But my God did not do that. Just ask a simple question. Where are you coming from? Where are you going? What about your past? Where is your future? I am hearing both. If only would ask some questions sometimes. Instead of making assertions, instead of passing judgment, instead of labeling people, would have gotten better results. So what God did for her, God opened up a way for her to vent. Just a simple question. Look at it again. It says here, look at it. Whence camest thou? Where are you going? And the first thing she said, I am running. Running from who? The woman whose husband is also my husband. Are we together? I bore a child for him and the wife vexed. I can just imagine her just venting. God wants us to vent.
Amen.
He wants us to spill out our gripes. He wants us to spill out our hurts, our disappointments. Are we together? Our cares of life. He wants us to have a conversation with us, and he wants us just to be honest with him. I'm saying to this congregation today for 2020, let us learn to allow people to tell their stories. Every man has a story. Every man has a challenge. Every woman has a burden. Everybody wants to unburden sometimes. All they want is somebody to listen. When we feel hopeless and unsure of ourselves, we need somebody to be present in our lives. When we feel we are down and out, we need somebody to hear us out. When we feel we can't go any further, we need somebody to support us. All that some people want at some times in their life, for us to shut our mouths and just spend some time and listen. God allowed Hagar to unburden. God allowed her to spill the beans. God allowed her to tell her story. I am running away. That's my past. The future, she did not say, because she has no knowledge of the future. But what I'm happy for, when we think that everything is done, when we think that there's no hope in life again for us, when we think that is the end of the road, don't get a piece of rope. God is still there waiting for you. God will show up. He has, he will, and he's still showing up in people's life. We just have to look out for him and feed on his word and take him at his word and wait patiently for him to come through for us. So how did God treat the problem with Hagar? He may not like the answer, but here's what he said. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, and I question this, I'm sure you will, return to that mistress. Brother Wigan, return to where you're coming from. Where? That the house there? Pardon my expression. With that the woman there? No! But what I like about Hagar, there was no complaint. You know why? She knew it was God. And if God said it, God has a plan for me. God told me to go back. I am going back because what? I'm now getting what? Hope. He said, go back there and what? Submit. In other words, go back and live again with the woman. Well, here is something, folk. The situation did not change. Are you following me? The situation did not change. But God said what? Go back. But before God did that, God gave her hope. Praise his name. God said, hey, I'm sending you back. But hey, I'm not sending you back without hope. I'm not sending you back without reassurance. I want you to realize that I was, I am, and will always be with you. So he said to her, follow me closely now. Here's the assurance. Behold, thou art pregnant, thou art with child. Huh? And shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath what? Heard thy affliction. Hold a second there now and examine this. You see, by telling her that her son will be born, amen, that her son will be named what? Ishmael, she got a new lease on life. You know why? As long as that name Ishmael was being sounded, Ishmael simply means God hears. Follow me closer now. Going back to Sarai, and that child to be born and called Ishmael was going to be a witness to Sarai and all the others who did not even, that God hears all the plots, all the criticism, all the assertions, all the condemnations. But it's a witness that, hey, as long as Ishmael is alive, it was a testimony that I too will live forever. I'm going to enjoy life in spite of the what? The toxic environment. Because Ishmael is there, saying to all Abraham's children to come, and all the servants, are you with me? That God hears my cry. God hears what you are planning. God understands what's going on in your mind. And as long as Ishmael is alive, I will be all right. So can you just imagine she turned around. Before she did that, she said something significant. Follow me closely now. Here's what she says. In verse 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God, seest me. For she said, I also here looked after him that what? Seeth me. In the Hebrew it says, El Rohe. Simply means the God who is seen. The God who has seen. The God who will forever see. That to her was fantastic. Go back to your mistress. Go back because you now have an encounter with me. You have a new lease on life. Go back and be to her a servant, not a queen. Amen. Not a wife. You have to go back and what? Submit to her authority. In other words, then come off your palms and dry it. If you understand that terminology. Come off your high horses, as some will say. Humble yourself. And let me work in and through you so your mistress can know that you have been changed. I don't know, folk. So that gave her what? Hope. And because of that hope, the Bible said she was turned around. I don't know how far she went in the 200 plus miles journey. But the fact is, having encountered God, having hope rekindled, having the assurance that God is hearing, God is seeing, she's now going back home with the full confidence that the God who met her at the well, the same God will guide her, the same God will keep her, the same God will protect her, and she will be around for a long time in the future. What a God we serve. A God who sees. A God who hears, a God who understands, and a God who has power to deliver his people right on time. We can keep hope alive. And the only way we can keep hope alive, as she did, you have to have an encounter with this God of hope. When God reaches out to you, when God has spoken to you, when God has changed you, you can have confidence in the future. Don't worry about the 11 plus months and days ahead of us. Because the God of hope has promised to be with us. Don't worry about those who criticize and condemn. Don't worry. God sees and he hears. And because he sees and he hears, he has the power to deliver his people. Let them talk. Let them criticize. Let them scandalize your name. God will take care of them. For those of you who are worrying about jobs, what the future holds, take the test that God is giving. Amen. Learn to do what? Wait a little longer on the Lord. Just to go forward. That promise of Abraham, it took him 25 years to get that child. We're talking about waiting. Waiting. Waiting for a job for 1 year. 2 years, and we complain, God, what's happening? God is still testing his people. Will we be faithful? Will we live without hope? Or are we going to hold on to the promises and still trust God that God's going to come through for us? Abraham, Sarai, they learned their lesson. That planning ahead of God is not one that gives hope. Amen. Taking things into your own hands does not allow you to live hopefully. When you learn to depend on God as Sarai did eventually, when the promised child came to her, are we together? Sarai was what? 90 years old. Past the age that we can think of. But then God is a God of what? Miracles. And miracles don't come to us when everything is all right. No. The miracles come when you just can't function on your own. Then God what appears and God what works on your behalf. So when you think you're down and out, God has just started to work behind the scenes for you. Don't give up the ship, saints. Don't give up hope. Hagar got a living example of how God who sees, the God who hears, and the God who knows what is happening to us. He knows everything you're going through right now. And he also knows the individuals who are plotting against you right now. He knows. He hears the stories. He hears your cries. And what I like about God, get back to the children of Israel. Anytime the Israelites cried unto God, regardless of how far they were in sin, when they cried out unto God, the Bible says what? God what? Hears. Not only hears, but he what? He acts. And I'm saying to this congregation today, as we begin the first Sabbath of 2020, the year ahead is a long way. But you can keep hope alive by having an encounter constantly with God. Her encounter caused her to go back into a toxic environment. Not that it has changed, and I'm repeating myself, but because she was what? Changed. She had met God. She was no longer afraid. She has hope. She has conviction. She has the solace that the God who met her at the well will be with her to the end of her days. Can we trust this God, saints? Can we keep hope alive? How do you do it? Have an encounter with God. Not in money. Not in houses. Not in lands. Not in friends. Your friends cannot have your back as how God has it. Let me say it again. I've heard folks saying, I have your back. What back? They say that now until something else happens, and the same one who has your back will destroy your front too. That's the reality. So the only person I know who can securely have your back is the one you need to have an encounter with. Let me tell you about back that I had as a child growing up in Kingston. Never forgot it. We used to have many fights. Uptown, downtown. Up street, Brother Wigan, down the street. Anything above Seward Primary School and Seward Drive is uptown, and I uptown. Anything below is downtown. And I'll never forget it. We had a stick fight. End of school days. And the guy said, Gregory, you go up front, I have your back. And like an idiot, I went up front. and start hitting left, right, and center and feeling nice. Until I realize the guys them stop and look and start to run towards me. I said, something not right. And I look behind, the back gone. My back was gone. And my back felt the blows. Survivor, I had to run. Big deal. Run like a madman. Because those guys who claimed they had my back, let my back bear. The point I'm making, however, is that God has your back. And if he has your back, you're covered. If he has your back, you have hope. If he has your back, success is guaranteed. If he has your back, you are protected. If you have your back, he can keep hope alive. It's my desire today as we come to this day. Like Hagar, sometimes you have to go back in a toxic environment. But you go back with the assurance that you need not fear. God is with you. And because you've had an encounter with him, you can go with the assurance that your hope will be alive. The assurance she had was the son who is called what? Ishmael. God hears. My beloved saints of the true and living God, we face the new year with the full assurance that God hears you. God sees your need. God understands your plight. And he says, don't worry, trust me, and I will take you safely home. Trust me, and I will take you home. Trust me, and I will provide for you. Trust me, and I will build you up. Trust me, I will take you into the kingdom, where you shall be with me forever. I want to be there. I want to be with him forever. I want to keep this hope alive. And I'm pledging by God's grace that whatever happens, I'm going to maintain that encounter with my God. Because the only way I can keep hope alive, I've got to the place to know him better. I'm going to ask all my elders to stand with me, because we're going to pledge today by God's grace that we who are elders, come right up. We who are elders, we are saying by God's grace, we're going to be living hope for you today. Let people know that we are channels of hope. Not to destroy you, but to what? Build you up. And we are pledging to stand by that principle. That our job, our responsibility is to lead by example. To have that daily encounter with God so we can face toxic situations. Amen. Toxic environments. Why? Because God sees and God hears. And because he sees and because he hears, he will take care of my challenges, take care of my problems. He can take care of your problems. Come on, join me on the platform, saints. And I'm going to ask the congregation also to pledge by God's grace that you will be an example of keeping hope alive to the people you come in contact with. Can you do that? Not to destroy them, but to what? Build them up. So live by example. Teach by example. And wait on the Lord. David says, wait, I say, wait patiently on the Lord. If you do that, you need not worry. You need not fret. Because God sees, God hears, God understands, and at the right time, God will come through for his chosen people.